We'd now like to begin a study of the book of Ezra. But before we get into the book of Ezra, we'd like to give some background information about this section of Old Testament history. The book of Ezra is the first of three books that actually form the closing section of Old Testament history, a period of about 100 years, lasting from 536 B.C. to 432 B.C. The book that we're primarily concerned about now is the book of Ezra, but this period is covered by three books, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. It is the story of the Jews' return from Babylonian captivity, the rebuilding of the temple and of the city of Jerusalem, and the reestablishment of the people in their homeland. The prophets who wrote during this period of the Jews' restoration are Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. This time of returning to and reestablishment in the Jewish homeland can be divided into two periods. The first one is B.C. 536 to 516, a period of 20 years, and is described in Ezra chapters 3 through 6. During this time, Zerubbabel was the governor, Joshua was the priest, and Haggai and Zechariah were the prophets. The temple was rebuilt during this period. The second period, B.C. 457 to 432, a period of 25 years, had Nehemiah as the governor, Ezra the priest, and Malachi the prophet. During this time, the wall was rebuilt and Jerusalem was restored. Ezra gives an account of both periods. Nehemiah tells of the second period, and Esther comes in between the two periods. There were three returns. The first return was 536 B.C. when Cyrus first gave the call and allowed the people to return back to their homeland. At this time, Zerubbabel, with 42,360 Jews, 7,337 servants, 200 singers, 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, 6,720 asses, 5,400 gold and silver vessels made the return. This was approximately 5,000 Jews at that first return. The second return was led by Ezra, with 1,754 men and 100 talents of gold and 750 talents of silver. This occurred in B.C. 457 and took about 4 months, and it was about 80 years after the first return. Now, at B.C. 444, the third return under Nehemiah as governor, with army escorts supplied by Artaxerxes I. At this time, Nehemiah rebuilt and fortified Jerusalem. Now, he made another return again from Babylonia to Jerusalem in 432 B.C. So now let us look at a chronology of the restoration. In 536 B.C., there were 49,897 Jews returned from Babylon to Jerusalem. In 536 B.C., in the seventh month, they built the altar and offered sacrifice. In 535 B.C., work on the temple began, but was soon stopped. In 520 B.C., work on the temple was renewed by Haggai and Zechariah. 516 B.C., the temple was completed. In 478 B.C., Esther became queen of Persia. In 457 B.C., Ezra went from Babylon to Jerusalem. In 444 B.C., Nehemiah built the wall around Jerusalem. In 432 B.C., Nehemiah returned again from Babylon. Now, as we look back at the time of the original captivity, Israel to the north, in 741 B.C., Israel was taken captive by Syria. In 606 B.C., Judah was taken captive by Babylon. Then in 536 B.C., as we have seen, Cyrus the Great permitted the return from captivity. The Bible has many instances in which the promise of a return to and a restoration of the temple and the city of Jerusalem would occur. This is found in several passages of the Old Testament, and we'd like to look at a few of those now. In Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12. Now, Jeremiah was one of the prophets who prophesied during this captivity, and he tells some things that are quite specific as to how long the captivity is going to be and what's going to happen. Jeremiah 25, verse 11 and 12. "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations." So Jeremiah is saying very plainly that the land of Babylon will be made a desolation perpetually, and after the end of 70 years then, desolation is going to come upon Babylon. Again in Jeremiah 29, verse 10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place." So there's a very plain prophecy that after 70 years the Lord would cause him to return. So Jeremiah says that the captivity would last for 70 years. At that time then, Babylon would be destroyed, and his people would be allowed to return back to their home place. We read also an interesting thing in Daniel, the ninth chapter, when this captivity did come, and then Babylon was overthrown, and Darius the Mede came in as the conqueror and the one who would rule over Babylon after Cyrus, who had actually done the conquering, turned the throne over to him. Daniel makes the statement that he understood this prophecy by Jeremiah. Daniel 9 and 2, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." So Daniel understood this, and it's quite possible that he told the ruler who had conquered Babylon, he told him what the prophet Jeremiah had said, that this would be a 70-year period, and then the people would be allowed to return, so that the ruler of the downtrodden Babylon might even understand then some of these prophecies, because Daniel understood them and could explain them. But that is mere conjecture about that part. We do know that Daniel did understand them. Consequently, God's people knew from the prophecies themselves that they were to be allowed to return to Jerusalem, and that the time would be a 70-year period. Now, I would like to notice also that Cyrus, who was the conqueror who destroyed the city of Babylon, or who conquered the city and destroyed the kingdom of Babylon and then made it subservient to himself, Darius, and the Medo-Persian Empire, that his name was given 200 years earlier by Isaiah. In other words, 200 years before this man did any of these things, Isaiah named him in the prophecies, and we'd like to look at some of those. In Isaiah 44, beginning with the 26th verse, speaking of the Lord, he says, "That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will rise up the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, Be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers, that saith of Cyrus, He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid." Here we have Isaiah prophesying that Jerusalem is going to be rebuilt, but he prophesies that Cyrus is the one who's going to be the instigator of the people being allowed to return, and he gives him by name. Now notice this is some 200 years before Cyrus even existed. Then the next chapter, chapter 45, verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut." So he here prophesies about Cyrus's capture of the city of Babylon, how that he did go through these gates. He drained the waters out of the river, and he went through on the dry bed, and he captured the city of Babylon this way. But these prophecies, the main thing I want to point out about them is that they are specific. They're giving names and details hundreds of years before this ever happened. Now again in chapter 45 of Isaiah, verse 13, still talking about Cyrus, "I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts." Again, a very specific prophecy about Cyrus, what he would do, how he would do it, and given around 200 years before it even happened. So when we're talking about the promise of restoration, these prophecies by Isaiah, who named Babylon as being the one who is going to carry out God's duty, are very, very important, and they're very pertinent to our study. It also points out to us the fact that God does take nations, and he uses them as instruments to bring about his work here on earth. He uses the nations and the powers of nations. He uses the rulers, those that are brought into power and those that are taken out of power. He uses them for a purpose to bring about his will here on earth as far as his people are concerned. He let Nebuchadnezzar rise up in power and carry his people away into captivity. This was something God wanted to happen, and he let it happen. Then when the time came for the captivity to end, for them to be allowed to go back to Jerusalem, then he let Cyrus rise into power and overcome this great Babylonian power, and then Cyrus was the one who then permitted his people to go back. These people are as great rulers, and go down in history as mighty, mighty men, but they're actually pawns being used by God to carry out his will on earth. And we fully believe that he does the same with nations today. And it's not our place to overthrow or to rise up any new power. It's only our place to carry out the will of God in that we serve God and allow him then to deal with the affairs of the nations. Now the next passage of scripture we'd like to look at is Daniel, the fifth chapter. In the fifth chapter of Daniel, tells about the night that the king of Babylon was banqueting and using the vessels of the temple to drink out of, that on this very night then the city of Babylon was overthrown by Cyrus. And before this happened, Daniel interpreted the handwriting on the wall. Remember now, Daniel was a man who was taken into captivity to Babylon while he was yet a young man, and he stayed there for the full 70 years, so that he was an old man by the time the kingdom of Babylon was overthrown. He had to be in the neighborhood of 90 years old at least. And so here is the Nebuchadnezzar's son called Belshazzar. He was a king, the king of Babylon. He made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. And while he was making this great feast and having all of his people surrounding him in this great party, there was a mysterious hand appeared on the wall and wrote some things on the wall. And Belshazzar could not understand what they were. He tried to get an interpretation of them and couldn't. Finally, somebody thought about Daniel, that Daniel was a man who had the ability to interpret these things. And so they went and got Daniel and brought him before the king. And so, as the last of verse 12 says, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Remember, Daniel was actually a captive of the Babylonians, but he's been here for 70 years now. And he earned quite a reputation for his wisdom and ability to interpret these things. Verse 13 of Daniel 5. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the God is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and thou shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known unto him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou, and thy lords, and thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hands thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered the kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Pares, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. So Daniel interpreted the handwriting on the wall, and it simply was the fact that thou art, your kingdom is numbered, you're weighed in the balances and found wanting, and your kingdom will be divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, this news must not have been very pleasing to Belshazzar at all, but he promised that if someone could interpret the handwriting, that he would do this, and so he followed through with his promise, in that he decorated Daniel. Verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Now that's all Daniel says about this. It was a great battle here. Cyrus and his army drained the waters of the great Euphrates River and came in under the wall where the riverbed flowed. They walked through on the dry riverbed, and they overthrew this king, Belshazzar, while he was in this drunken state of revelry, and he was slain that night, and his kingdom was overcome. And Daniel just simply says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Verse 31, and Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now Darius was a relative of Cyrus, and after Cyrus had captured the city, then he let Darius be the ruler in Babylon. Of course, Darius was of the Medes, and Cyrus was of the Persians. So we see then how that all these prophecies given in Jeremiah and Isaiah and interpreted by Daniel, as Daniel lived through this captivity and the end of the captivity, and gives the account of it in Daniel 5, we see how all this fits with the fact that there was a promise of a restoration, and then the very fact of that restoration and the promise being fulfilled was consummated. We'd like to look at some other things now. As we mentioned before, Cyrus's first call for the captives to be allowed to return to Jerusalem was given in B.C. 536, and at that time only approximately 50,000 Jews returned. This is given in the first chapter of Ezra. Cyrus gave back the golden vessels that were taken from the temple by Nebuchadnezzar. The exiles began a journey of more than 700 miles from Babylon to Jerusalem. They came not merely from the tribe of Judah, as many would like to believe, but they came from other tribes as well, for we have several passages in Ezra in which he talks about all Israel. Ezra 10:25, Ezra 2:70, Ezra 6:17, and Ezra 8:35. Another interesting thing is that the money for travel and rebuilding of the temple and for other needs were provided by God under the direction of Cyrus. And this is according to Ezra 1, verses 4 and 6. Now let's look a little bit at this man Ezra. Ezra was thought to be the author of four books, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah, although Nehemiah may have been written by Nehemiah himself. The last two verses of 2nd Chronicles are identical to the first two verses of Ezra chapter 1. Ezra was the grandson of Hilkiah, the priest who 160 years earlier had directed Josiah's reformation. He went from Babylon to Jerusalem in B.C. 457, 80 years after the first Jews had returned, and 13 years before Nehemiah had arrived. Now let us begin with the first chapter of the book of Ezra.